This is Wednesday, October the 22nd, 2003, and this is the beginning of an interview with Esther Jane McNeil as a member of the Women's Overseas Service League at the Army Residence Community, 7400 Crestway, San Antonio, Texas. Jane is 84 years old, having been born on June 16, 1919. My name is Doris Cobb, and I will be the interviewer.
I was brought up on a farm in Sigel, Pennsylvania. I had 7 siblings, 5 brothers and 2 sisters, and I was number 6 in the group. There was 22 years difference between the oldest and the youngest. I attended a one-room schoolhouse and started school when I was 5 years old, finished when I was 16, from a 4-year high school. Stayed home for a year, and then I went to University Hospital of Pennsylvania for a 3-year course in nursing. Upon graduation, I stayed on and worked in the operating room for a little over, 2.5 years. I finished nursing in 1940. And Pearl Harbor came along in 1941, and that day, I'll never forget, I was working in the operating room, and I'd been on call the night before, so I was taking a snooze in the afternoon, and I was living in the nurses' quarters at the time. The student nurses weren't allowed to have radios, and they came in and woke me up because I had a radio and they wanted to hear what was going on, that Pearl Harbor had been bombed. That evening I had a date with my boyfriend, who called and asked me to get 2 other gals. And we went out and the conversation was absolutely backwards because all 3 of us were signed up with our hospital unit and they were shipbuilders. And the one I was dating, he was a graduate of MIT, and he wanted to get in the Navy the worst kind of way, and they would not release him from his duties at the shipyard. He'd helped design the battleship Missouri. And one of the saddest days of my life came a few months later when a unit was called to active duty. I was rejected because of poor vision. And that's bad. All my friends and we're going off to fight the big war, and there I was, left in Philadelphia. Well, about 6 months later, I got a letter from the Army asking me if I wouldn't volunteer. And I wrote a rather snotty letter back that I'd volunteered once and they rejected me, but I would volunteer again if they'd take me immediately. And by golly, I had a letter back in a few days. I was to go for my physical, and I followed them right through and saw that that medical officer passed me. And I went down and told the chief of nurses the next day that I'd had this exam. And she said, "Oh, Miss McNeil, don't be in a hurry about resigning." She said, "We have gals that passed their physical months ago and they haven't been called yet." Well, they took my letter seriously because I said I'd be available after February the 5th. I was called back on February the 6th. And I said, if I accepted, I'd like a Western Air Base. Well, sure enough, I got one, Davis Monson Field. I was so lucky because a lot of those air bases were in horrible places. But Davis Monson's a nice spot. Well, I was there for about 9 months, and one of our friends had been transferred up to Colorado Springs to the chief office of the division. And she was lonesome, so she asked if I'd be called up to Fort Pueblo. So Jenny Haynes and I, one of my friends, we were transferred up to Pueblo, Colorado. Well, by this time, the standards were changing for overseas, so they were asking for volunteers for overseas, so I volunteered again. And they passed me with a blood pressure of 80 over 60. And first they didn't pass me, they said, "Well, come back in a day or two." And I went back and it was up to 84. And I said, "Well, you didn't go." So I went down to Camp Swift, Texas. We're activated at Camp Swift, 69th General Hospital. And we're a little different than other hospital units because we were all taken from the Air Corps. So we were from all over the United States. And it was a good unit. And they shipped our men through the Mediterranean, but they didn't want to ship the women through the Mediterranean, so we went by South Africa on a ship that my shipbuilder friends in Philadelphia had helped build. The Milton Philadelphia. And we went around by Cape Town, South Africa, into Gulf, the ship in Bombay, took a train across India. It took us days to get across. In one spot we stopped, and we stopped for our meals, and they'd line up outside, eating British rations. And this one place we stopped, the birds came down and took our food right off of this ship. So we got over to Calcutta, and we spent a few days there, and then we got on a train and a boat again and went up to Lido, India. And that's where the 20th General, the University of Pennsylvania unit, was stationed. So here's all my friends up at the 20th. So after we signed in, I stopped at the 20th. And I asked somebody where Corey Schutz was working, and I know she was here, and I looked at her, and I said, oh, where's the General's office? So I walked into the General's office, and his secretary announced that I was about to take him out. He looked at me, and he said, Miss Mack, how did you get here? You can't see. And he asked me if I wouldn't transfer into the 20th, because I'd been his scrub nurse at the University of Pennsylvania. I said, no, I came over at the 69th. I'd better stick with Sam. He said, well, I have some of the gals here in TDY. I might just as well have you. I said, you can ask for me, but I won't ask. So sure enough, he called the chief nurse up. She called me in the next day. You've been asked by the general 20th. If you transferred up there, I said, yes, I know. I said, I used to be a scrub nurse. So I was there until we got our hospital set up, and then I was sent up to our hospital to open up the operating room, and I became the head of the operating room at CMS. The worst part of our work was doing those gas gangrene cases. To this day, I say gas gangrene, I can smell it. And I think I was the only one that was ever called out at night to do a gas gangrene case. And we had a separate operating room to get them in. Well, we were there just a little over a year, and my roommate, Arthur Miller and I, we went on leave up to Darjeeling, and that was a great experience. And while we were in Darjeeling, we got orders to move out of Europe to head for the invasion of Japan. And we were at sea 73 days. The war ended en route before we got to the Philippines. And we sat in the Philippines, the bay there, for 4 or 5 days waiting to, we had something on the ship that they were to deliver to the Philippines, and nobody wanted to take it before the war was over. And none of us knew what this was, you know. And then one day they came out, a little boat, and they took off a box about 6 feet square. And after that, we sailed. To this day, I wonder what was in that box. And we get to Okinawa. And the day we got off board the ship, a typhoon came on. So we went out to sea for 3 more days and bounced around like a rubber ball out there at sea. And then we went ashore. And we had 500 nurses from the hill there. Came in from the United States and the Pacific and Europe. And we had nothing to do. We were just waiting. And finally, they decided we could go home, depending on how many points you had. So I was in one of the first groups that got to go home. And the day that we were processed, we went, took a foot locker and everything, went down, processed, and went back to our camp. We were in tents. And another typhoon came up. And everything went flat. And so then the ship that came in, it wasn't unloaded yet, and we that had enough points to decide they'd take us down first on the ship until they got it unloaded, and then we would sail. So that's what happened. And we came home. Came into Portland, Oregon, Port Vancouver. And they sent us to Fort Des Moines to nurse us to be discharged because all the other discharge centers were filled. My husband would get to Fort Des Moines and they're filled up, so they sent us home on TDY for a few days. And so I went back to Pennsylvania for, I think, 5 days, and I had to go all the way back to Fort Des Moines to be discharged on Thanksgiving Day. And on the way back from Fort Des Moines, I stopped in Cleveland. Case West, Western Reserve University, say about entering, and I was accepted there. And 5 days after my terminal leave was up, I was in school. So then when I finished there, majored in public health and went to work for the D.C. Health Department. One of my friends there was in the Navy Reserve, and she always talked about how much fun they had at the reserve meeting, so I decided maybe I'd better join the reserve. So I joined the reserve, and I was with the General Hospital. And some of the gals, when Korea started, had volunteered to go back, and I thought, no, I'm not going to volunteer. If I go back, I'm going to join the regular Army, because they had a special bill left that year for veterans to join the regular Army, and there were some nice incentives in it. A month before that bill expired, I got my letter to return, and I got in on the very last group of nurses on that bill, and it put our promotion date back to the day we entered the Army the first time. So that was a big help. So I went to Fort Belvoir. And then they wanted a health nurse down at Fort Hood, so I transferred to Fort Hood. And one of my friends wanted to go to Europe, and she didn't want to go by herself, so she told me. And I was going with a fellow that was with the Second Army, and he was going to Europe, or he'd gone. So I thought, okay, I'll go to Europe. So I told Jenny I wasn't going to walk down to the chief nurse's to sign up, but she could do it, give her my name. So that was, 1950. And I got orders for St. Louis, and poor Marguerite, my friend, she didn't get them for 2.5 years later. I was about ready to come home when she got her orders. And I worked, I was with the field training school there for, went to France. And that was the hardest year of my military career, was that year in France, because we didn't have enough work to do. And the unit, I was a horrible unit, it was a unit from Chicago. The CO was sent home in maturity about 3 months after we got there. And it wasn't a happy situation at all in France. The French didn't want us. First us down in southern France, we get the home painted on our car. We had a radio area life, so there was a lot of communist activity in southern France at that time. It was just the Ridgeway taken over the Korean War. And so I asked for a transfer into Germany after a while. And I went over to the field training school down in Deggendorf, beautiful little spot, right at the bottom of the Wendelstein Mountain. And we were there about a year, and then the school was moved up to Landstuhl, Germany. So we went to Landstuhl, Germany, and I taught up there. And And then I came back to the States, to Fort Sheridan. Did Army health nursing there. And I decided it was time I should go for a master's degree. So I asked the chief of personnel about it. She said, well, you get yourself accepted at a university, and then you apply to us, and we'll decide whether you go or not. I went up to the University of Michigan, got accepted, got my orders for University of Minnesota. And I never questioned it. I just got busy and applied at Minnesota, and they accepted me. And you know, after working in the SGO, I bet you $10 that clerk made a mistake that was writing out the orders, you know, because at that time most of the nurses were sent to Minnesota or Columbia. And I think that's how I got to Minnesota. I never questioned it. I just got accepted at Minnesota and went to Minnesota. A master's in public health. And that was a 9-month course. So thanks to it, I got orders for Fort Sam Houston. And I got down there, and I was supposed to set up a health nursing program there, but the health nurse at the school was going off to school, and they had nobody to replace her. Mercedes Fisher was to replace her, but she had to do some work in that summer before she finished her master's. So I got assigned to the school instead of the hospital. So I spent 2 or 3 years there at the school. And then I went to Korea. From Korea, I went over there to the health nurse for the area. Then I went back to Fort Ord, health nurse. And then one day, the chief nurse called me over to the office. And she said, Gladys Johnson from the SGO office is calling you this afternoon. And she'll be calling you tomorrow morning, so stay in your office. I said, what's so important that Gladys is calling me all the way from Washington? She said, well, she didn't tell me not to tell you, but she said, they want you to go to Fort Polk as chief nurse. Now, that was never, never in my career pattern as far as I was concerned. So Gladys called me the next morning, and they were sending Hank Pfeffer out to replace me. I said, why don't you drop Hank off at Fort Polk and let me stay here? He saved you a lot of money, because Hank was stationed back east someplace. Nope, Colonel Clark wants you to go to Fort Polk. So I went to Fort Polk. Supposed to be the worst assignment in the United States. I enjoyed Fort Polk, and you know, it wasn't so bad being a chief nurse. I had them walk in there and had a bunch of majors, a lot older than I was. I think we had one captain and one lieutenant, and everybody else was a major. Christmas time came, and they had quite a few and finished the basic training at Fort Sam. And after Christmas, we got in 5 people, 4 males and 1 female, all second lieutenant. So I spent over 2 years at Fort Polk, and then I went back to Europe. Chief nurse at Stuttgart. See, that was never in any of my career plans, to be a chief nurse. But I look back on it, you know, I had a pretty good time being chief nurse. I always had good loyal nurses, and then from then I went to the Surgeon General's office to put down medicine.
What year was that?
That was I retired in 71. That must have been 1968 or 69. And from there I retired.
Year?
1971. I met some fine people in the Army.
What have you done since you retired?
play.
In what way?
Well, I played golf for a while, and I finally made golf my work. And that wasn't any fun. I'd played golf while I was in the service. It was great to go out and play 9 holes after being in the chief nurse's office all day long, listening to problems. And
where did you retire to?
San Diego, California. And I learned at Fort Polk that I'd like to get interested in bird watching. My mother was coming to visit me, and I thought, what can we do that mother and I could do together? Well, there was always a bunch of birds in my backyard, and I had no idea what kind of birds those were. My mother always talks to birds in the yard, you know. And so I thought, I'll have mother feed the birds. And luckily, there's a wildlife fellow that lived next door to me. He worked for the state, so he told me what to do. He put peanut butter behind the bark on the pine trees, for one thing. And I got some bird books, and I really got interested in birding. But I didn't get out of my backyard, really. And so I knew that I wanted to do that when I retired, so I was fortunate in meeting a nice little old lady in California. She must have been, in her late 70s, somewhere there. Sharp, wonderful birder. And she took me under her wing. And I tell you, she had me on every backyard in San Diego County. She had more projects. We had to count all the hawk's nests and how many flags. And she did work for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife. She had surveys she did. And I'd go over there on her surveys. And she kept following me, you know. First thing I knew, she's had a meet take over these bird surveys. I had a great time birding. Met a lot of wonderful people. We organized finally an Audubon club in our area instead of having to go 22 miles to me. So I helped organize that. So I spent my time in San Diego birding.
And playing golf.
Well, I quit golf for a while. After I got into birding, because Alice had so many projects we had to do, you know, we were out 4 or 5 days a week chasing birds. And so I quit golf, and then I went back to it, though, after about 4 or 5 years. So I was playing golf and birding until I came here.
And when did you move to San Antonio?
I moved to San Diego 3 years ago. In 2000.
What made you decide to come to San Antonio?
Oh, because of people like you. I had some friends here, and it wasn't quite as expensive as a retirement home. I looked at retirement homes all the way from Pennsylvania to California. And I came here, main reason I thought, well, we have all of the nurses and doctors living there. They ought to have a good health care system here. That was a determining factor. Are you still recording what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I won't say that one.
Anything else you want to say?
No, but I'm glad I'm here. And I'm glad I was in the service.
Anything special about your attitude toward the service other than you were glad you were in it? Did you learn something that helped you to adjust to the rest, to civilian life? What's your attitude toward what's going on in the world now?
Oh, I suppose so. I don't like what's going on in the world now. I think you learn a lot about people in this service. I'm glad I went in the service. It's a good career. Lots of opportunities if you applied yourself.